This is Al Nass in Westfield, Indiana, on the north side of Indianapolis. This is October 17th, 2017. So welcome, everybody. And let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our study. Okay, guys? Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for so many things. Your Son, your Word, your truth, your blessings on all of us, your choosing us, your redeeming us, your sealing us. And I want to pray especially for the members of the body, those that are online, those who are not, those who are in the world. Pray for their guidance and pray for their understanding and wisdom. And I pray for their safety and pray for their health and all many things that our members are dealing with in the world. And I want to pray for the Arizona conference, that things will go well with that conference, and pray for Barney and Kelly setting that up, getting it ready to go in a few short weeks. We know you have many blessings for us there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to do what's, thank you. I'm going to do what's called, Welch calls a spotlight study, which means it's really not tied to a lengthy, lesson, but it's a spotlight on 1 Peter. And I don't very often get into the general epistles to the circumcision, but, sometimes I go through those, and it's kind of interesting to pick up a few things. So I want to just go over something I ran across here recently and want to share it with you. I'm a student of the Word, and when I get done, I'm going to turn off the mic, and I'm going to welcome some comments on this. So we're going to go with 1 Peter, good old Peter. David Bickle was out of town this week, so I filled in with his Bible study group on Tuesday night. And we got talking about how to study the Bible and why to study the Bible. And we know that the Old Testament is for Israel and to Israel. And one fellow said, yeah, they just all have one name. It's kind of hard to follow because they don't have a last name. And one of the ladies said, well, yeah, they should have a name like Smith or Johnson or Wilson or something like that. I said, well, Peter had a last name. She said, really? I said, yeah. I think if you look at Matthew 16:17, he was called Simon Bar-Jonah. And Jonah could be a name for John. And Bar means son. And so he could be named Peter Johnson, Peter Johnson. just a little hard to get started off here. So I think of Peter as Peter Johnson quite often. Let's turn to Peter, 1 Peter 2. And let's start off at the beginning of the Chapter 2. I'm going to go down and focus on 9 and 10 in 2. So 1 Peter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, I know that we believe that we are the church, which is his body, with a separate calling and hope from that of Israel and their kingdom calling. And we know that we are now in the present Lo Ami period with Israel. And I think most of you know what that means. And then when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. I think we believe, at least I do, and I think we believe that Peter's epistle is what we call a inner Acts epistle, or epistle during the Acts period to the circumcision, and was written before Ephesians, was written in the post-Acts period. So at first I thought this verse 2:10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. At first I thought that was in reference to the Lo Ami of Israel. So what does this mean if it's written during the Acts period? What does Peter mean here? And just the other night, I was sitting in a restaurant waiting for a takeout order, and I flipped open my phone and to my Bible app, and I was reading this verse again. And, you know, you have one of those moments when the Holy Spirit gives you an aha moment, wake up. And I guess I don't now think this is anything to do with the Lo Ami. If you flip back to Romans 11. Yes, Colossians 3:4 is a similar, to what, Peter is saying. That's when we were called out. But in Romans 11, verse 1, Paul is saying, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seek for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded. So, we see some similarities here. Paul is talking about an election. In verse 5, he said, even so at this point, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now back in Peter, his introductory 1 Peter 1, who is he writing to? 1 Peter 1, Peter says, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So Peter is talking about an elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Paul was talking about people that God foreknew. And I'm trying to remember what verse that was in. He was talking about God, who God foreknew. Peter was talking about foreknowledge. In X, we talk about, Paul calls them a remnant according to the election of grace, and Peter calls them the elect. So we have here, I think, Peter and Paul are possibly referring to the same people. Just as Israel had a remnant, these are the ones in the inner Acts period that are believe in Christ, who are saved by grace, and they are a remnant that are chosen by grace according to the foreknowledge of God. So I think this is what Peter is referring to as in 2:10, 1 Peter 2:10, that which in times past we were not a people, but are now the people of God. I don't think that's a lo ami statement. I think he's talking about, I guess it can be best said by when Paul was writing in Ephesians, when he was talking about us, the Gentiles, in a similar way, Ephesians 2:11, he says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So I think Peter is referring to some of Israel who were really not in grace with God. Therefore, they were not his people in that sense. They were not in grace with God. But now these who are elect and these who are saved by grace are now the people of God. That's the way I see what I think Peter means in that statement. Because before I thought, well, how can he be saying we were not a people of God, but now we are a people of God? And this is during the Acts period, because the post-Acts lo ami period hadn't occurred. At that time. And I know there were lo-ami periods in the Old Testament, but still in the Acts period, Israel was still God's people. They were still primary over the Gentiles. So it seems like in 1 Peter 2:10, it's like after Israel is restored, but it's not. It's really not a lo ami statement. So I guess I have a question. Does that mean that those who were saved during the Acts period, the circumcision, are they not part of the lo ami designation, I guess you would call it? God has them in reserve. They are God's people because they believed in Christ and they were saved by grace. So they're not the ones that are considered lo ami. They are still the people of God. So the lo ami period would speak to the people who have not received Christ in the nation of Israel. So we kind of have a, when I read 1 Peter, after I've studied Ephesians so much, I see a lot of similarities between 1 Peter and Ephesians. Because in verse 1, 2, in 1 Peter, he talks about the elect. Let me get back there to 1 Peter. So he talks about the elect and 1 Peter 1, 2. And in 1 Peter 1, 3, he calls them the, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," which is also said in Ephesians. In 1:15, he says to be holy in all manner of conversation. In verse 2:9, he says, "Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, as we have been called out of sin of his dear son." 11, Peter tells him to abstain from fleshly lusts. In 2:18, "Servants, be subject unto your masters." In 3:1, he says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." In 3:7, he says, "Likewise, ye husbands." In 3:8, he talks about being ye all of one mind. And in 4:3, he says, "For the time past of our life, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abomination, idolatries." So, you see, same terminology and admonitions here in 1 Peter that we see in Ephesians. So when I also read James, Jude, John, and Peter, which we believe are writings during the Acts period, or epistles during the Acts period, it seems like those could be sound on either side of this dispensation. What I mean is, when the Acts period ended, just after these epistles, some of these epistles were written, Israel was put in what I call their big time out, their lo ami period. And the clock stopped with Israel. So when this dispensation that we're in now ends, then it seems like that Acts period dispensation will just start up and continue on. So I think the Bible is still going to be important to Israel after this dispensation is done or gone. I think they're going to read these epistles, and a lot of what's said in these epistles goes right up to the return of Christ, the coming back of the Lord. And it may be 21 years that the 144,000 are out witnessing and using scriptures and bringing people in. So I see these epistles can be sound doctrine on either side of this dispensation. It's almost like I thought that these, at one time I thought these epistles were written for the future. Until I understood that even when they were written, they were thinking Christ was going to return at any minute, at any time, in their lifetime. So, and I know that Paul's post-Acts epistles will not be relevant except as maybe a historical record as what happened to the church, which is his body. Because we have these seven churches in Revelation that are what I call Judeo-Christian churches. They are Jews who are Christians, been converted to Christ. As were in the Acts period, there were Jews converted to Christ, Judeo-Christians. But in our dispensation, there are neither Greek nor Jew, bond or free, etc. So there are no Judeo-Christians in our dispensation, as is commonly misrepresented by mainstream Christianity. So, I guess basically that's my message for this evening, and I'm interested. I'm still learning, and I would be interested to have anybody's comments on this as far as these epistles and their possible use in the future. With the in the next period after this dispensation is ended. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic and see if anyone has any comments on this.